Good neighbor missions. This morning, how not to be a bad neighbor. And this evening, I'm hoping to help you to learn a little bit about how to be a good neighbor. And just some great principles we're going to get from this lesson tonight. And I hope that we as a church can be a missions-minded church. I feel like we are. But I hope that God can just continue to grow that and in our hearts, give us a desire not just to support missionaries and to write a check or whatever we do to support somebody else somewhere else, but to do it here, to do both of them. That's missions, reaching people here, reaching people somewhere else at the same time, reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's why I feel like this is a very appropriate good neighbor missions. All right, Luke chapter 10, verse 25, you've got the lawyer, he comes to Jesus and he tempts him, he asks him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asked him, verse 26, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" He answers in verse 27, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus answers him back. They have this conversation going back and forth. Jesus says, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Then the lawyer has the audacity to say, "And who is my neighbor?" So who am I supposed to love with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength? And with all my mind. And we learned this morning, Jesus taught him that the other people that you have an opportunity to make a difference in their lives, those are your neighbor. Not just the people next door to you, not just people across the street, but the other people in your life are your neighbors. How do we be a good neighbor? This morning we learned some things about what to do not to be a bad neighbor. And hopefully we can, let me just remind you what those are, just real quick. So a bad neighbor would be somebody who, because of personal convenience, doesn't do anything. Because of lack of concern, doesn't do anything. Because of selfishness, doesn't do anything. Because of pride, doesn't do anything. Because of being busy, doesn't do anything. Because of misplaced priorities or because of fighting God's leading in their heart, they don't do what God wants them to do in being a good neighbor. But what did the good neighbor do? Well, the good neighbor, first of all, who was he? Well, let's look at the story, verse number 30. "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Bad neighbor. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Another bad neighbor, but a certain Samaritan. Now, you know this story, but what is a Samaritan? Think about this just for a moment. The Samaritan was a person that came from a mixed race. And somebody that, now, let me just clarify something here. God made one race, it's the human race. We kind of complicate things and say that person's that race, that person's that race. We're all the same, just different traits, and they pass down different ways. We're all human beings created in the image of God, one race. But so you got different, maybe I should say ethnicity. And so he's a mixed race, different ethnicity than the man that was hurt there. When Assyria conquered Israel, they repopulated Israel with captives from other nations. They wanted not only to destroy the land, they wanted to destroy their heritage. They wanted to destroy any type of pride that they had in who they were, their patriotism. So they repopulated it with other countries and the people mixed, and nobody respected the Samaritans. The people from other countries didn't respect them. The Jews didn't respect them, and they lived right in the middle of the area we would call Israel now. The Jews made massive efforts to stay away from Samaria. They'd go around Samaria. That's why it was such a shock when Jesus went through Samaria. "I must needs go through Samaria." And he met the woman at the well, and the disciples were shocked he was even talking to her. "What are you doing talking to this woman? Don't you know she's a Samaritan?" Well, that's the guy that stops to help. That's who the good neighbor was. The Samaritans had been treated bad by Jews for generations. That's why it's so huge when Jesus told this story. It wasn't just a priest and a Levite and another guy. It was a priest and a Levite and a Samaritan. It was a stranger. It was someone who had been looked down upon, but this person decided to go ahead and help. So this man, he's a Samaritan, and as he journeyed, look at this here. We're at verse number 33. "A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. This man had been beaten, left half dead, the Bible says. The Samaritan comes by. We already know who he is now, but what's he doing? He's coming by as he journeys. In the normal routine of life, he comes by this man who's needing of help, who's been injured. As we're applying this to missions, in the normal routine of life, he came across somebody, if we could apply this way, who needed to hear the gospel. And that's going to happen to you. I'm not anybody special. I'm very much like the Samaritan. But in my normal routine of life, as I journeyed, and as I'm going on this life's path, I'm going to cross paths with somebody who I can make a difference to. Not because I'm anybody special. I'm no different than the Samaritan. But because I know somebody special. But because I've been saved, because I know the gospel, I can share it with somebody. As he journeyed, he wasn't looking to be a hero. He was just going about his day, and he sees someone who has a need. He sees a neighbor. That's what this is about, right? He sees someone who is his neighbor. He didn't realize he was his neighbor because he hadn't read the definition that Jesus had given here. But he's a Samaritan. He's journeying by. He sees his neighbor. The Bible says he came to where he was. You got two pronouns there, two he's, okay? So he, the Samaritan, came to where he, the hurt guy, was. Wish we had a name for the hurt guy, because I don't want to call him the hurt guy the whole message, but we may just have to do that. So he, the Samaritan, he's on his regular routine, not looking to be a hero. He came to where this other guy was. He came to where he was. You know, you're going to come across people in your normal routine. And as you come across these people, let me challenge you to make an effort to influence people for Christ. The Bible says we're supposed to go out and teach all nations and to reach them, get the gospel to everybody, teach them about Jesus, teach them how to be saved. You can do that. And the best way to do that is in your normal routine. Now, we ought to have a set aside time to tell people about Jesus, because if you don't have a set time to do something, it just doesn't get done. But we should also have a heart, a desire to reach people, even if it's not the set time. Okay, everybody get your cell phones ready. Because if the power goes out, we're going to need your flashlights. All right? So just keep them close. Sounds like it's raining pretty good there. And the power has been known to go out here. But thank God for a new roof that doesn't leak. Isn't that just a blessing? All right. As he journeyed, he came to where he was. And look at verse number 33. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him. Now here's my question to you. Do you really see people? Do you really see people? I know I don't have your attention right now. We all ought to just go outside and stand in the rain or something. I'm telling you, nobody's listening. All right, so somebody needs to open the back door while I just look out and go, ooh, okay. Do you see people? I mean, really, when you see people, what do you see? So many, our culture has just done a terrible thing to us. And when we look at people, we see what they wear. We see their style, we see their fashion, we see if they're beautiful people or ugly people. We see if they could be a star or if they're like us. I don't know if it's our culture, if it's just sin that has done that, but do you see people? Now, we need to try to see through the mask that people live behind and see the real person that's there. The public school teens just be a great example of this, okay? If you drive by the public school as they're getting out of school, you can see all kinds of different costumes, okay? Costumes, I just call it that because there's a lot of kids dressing up, hiding behind something, T-shirts or outfits or pants that don't quite fit right or whatever it is, and they're hiding behind them because there's something, I'm not saying everybody, but that's just a great place, the mall, okay, be another great place to go and laugh at the way people are hiding. But if we can get past that laughing point and say, there's really somebody there. There's a person, and there's that mask that they're wearing. Maybe it's a happy mask. Maybe it's a confident mask. Maybe it's a everything's okay mask. But there's somebody there behind that mask. And my challenge to you is to look past the whatever it is they're hiding behind and see that person that's there. They're a real person that God really loves and he died for. What a thought this is. So many people have so many needs, but you have to convince them that you care about them before they let you really see them. If somebody doesn't know I care about them, I'm still going to be looking at the mask. If I've talked to a lot of people, and you've talked to a lot of people, if you talk to somebody and it's It sounds like you're just trying to, if I'm just trying to get them to come to church. If I just try to get somebody to come to church, the mask stays there. But when they realize, you know, and I tell people this, it really doesn't matter to me if you ever come to our church or not. But can I tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? Sometimes the mask starts to come down. And you can begin to see, here's the person, here's the needs. There's so many stories. It was just a few months ago. We were knocking doors in, I forget which area it was. We've been to so many areas recently. We were knocking doors. My wife and I were there. Lady answered the door. It was up in the 87114 zip code. A lady answered the door. After we talked to them for just a little bit, the mask began to come down. And she began to tell us how she'd been abused all her life by different people in her family. And how she was searching for truth, but how could she trust if she'd been so hurt by so many people? And the mask began to come down. There's so many people that like this man, he saw him. And if you'd go out, instead of looking at people, I almost said judging people, and that probably would be taking wrong, but in our minds, judging, that person's confident, that person's got it all together, that person's rich, that person, they drive a nice car, so they're probably cool, probably everybody likes them. Instead of looking at people like that, that person looks great, that person doesn't look so great, and I don't know what it is about us that makes us do that, but can we look at them and say, that's a person? There's a person, and all those other things don't matter, but that's a person that God loves. He saw him. So many people have so many needs. Let me give you a couple examples. Do you see the little boy in the homeless man? He's still there. The guy that may be asking for money. Okay, so maybe he's asking for it for the wrong reason. Maybe we don't need to give him money. But maybe there's something else we can help him with. Maybe we can share the gospel. Maybe we can be kind. That man that, yeah, he's probably made some bad decisions, but it wasn't that long ago. He was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and things were different. He's still there. Still the same guy. Still the same heart, still the same soul. Do you see him? Do you see the child starving for attention in the rebellious teen? If you've ever worked with teenagers, sometimes they can just get to you with their rebellion. Now, our teens, we got some great teens here in our church, but sometimes as you work with teens, there's a rebellious attitude that they bring with them. I'm not saying all teens, because we've got great teens, but as you work with teens, you're going to see it. If you ever taught a Sunday school class, worked on a bus route, helped the teens, you see that. And there's this like a wall that's there. And you look at them and you think, they hate me. I remember going on a fifth grade trip, just kind of along with a friend. He was teaching a Sunday school class, and we went to watch a minor league game. And we went to the baseball game. All the way there, these fifth graders were laughing at me, making fun of me, picking on me, and I thought, these kids hate me. They despise me because they're doing all this mean stuff to me. Turns out that's how fifth graders try to relate and get your attention and show you that they like you. I was really loved that day. And you see, and they've got this scowl on their face sometimes. They're looking at you. And it's like, this kid hates me. But can you look through that rebellious face and see the child there that's starving for attention? Maybe they don't have a dad. They don't have a mom. Maybe somebody's hurt them in a big way. And if we could just be the one that shows them God's love, maybe we can make that difference for them. Can you see people the way Jesus sees people? Do you see the empty eyes? This is one that we miss a lot of times. Do you see the empty eyes when you look into the eyes of a wealthy but unsaved person? You know, we knock on a lot of doors. We invite a lot of people to church. We tell a lot of people about Jesus. And one decision that I made a long time ago is that we're going to knock on the poorest doors in town, but we're also going to knock as much as we can on the wealthiest doors in town, because they all need the same Savior. The problem is the wealthiest doors in town are the harder ones to get to, so sometimes we have to send the postcards to them. But whenever you knock, there's a family that we met some time back, knocked on the door, talked to them, met them, and a beautiful, nice, wonderful neighborhood. And we didn't realize all the hurt that they had been through. After we talked to them for a while, we'd realized that they had lost their son not that long back. It wasn't that long after we'd met them, they'd come to our church a few times. He called me up and he told me about how his wife was wanting to leave and trying to get a divorce and just lots of problems. And I didn't know that. A doctor, things are going great. beautiful neighborhood, and you don't realize who you're talking to. My challenge tonight is this. This man is our neighbor. Let's be like the Samaritan on our regular routine as we journey by, come to where they are, and see them for who they are and share the gospel with them. Keep reading if you would. But a certain Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. Basically, he saw the man the way Jesus saw the man. In Matthew 15, 32, the Bible says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. The disciples at times wanted to send all the people away, but Jesus said, no, bring them to me. The disciples wanted to send the children away, and Jesus said, no, bring them to me. The disciples said, there's not enough food here, send them away. And Jesus said, I have compassion on them. You feed them. Let's feed them. He saw him, the Samaritan saw the hurt guy as a person in need of help. How do we see, do we see them that way? He had compassion on them. Compassion, what is it? It's a mixture of love and sorrow. I want you to consider this definition. Compassion, a mixture of love and sorrow. Sorrow is feeling sorry for someone. Maybe feeling sorry for the misfortunes of another person. But sorrow is something you feel and don't do anything about. Sorrow is maybe hurting for that other person and feeling sorry for them. But without love, sorrow does nothing. Love is giving of yourself without any thought of what you can gain in return. So sorrow and love is when I feel sorry for someone so much that I give of myself, not needing anything else back. And I'm not just talking about giving money to people. We're talking about missions. We're talking about reaching the world with the gospel. We're talking about soul winning, telling my neighbor about Jesus. Do I feel sorry enough that my neighbor's going to die and go to hell that I love him enough to do something about it? That is compassion. Sorrow is, man, I'm sorry for this terrible community and my neighbors and all these people around us. If they don't hear the gospel, they're going to die and go to hell. That's sorrow. I feel sorry for them. Love is, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to support missions. That is compassion. Compassion is a trigger on the inside that makes something happen on the outside. Compassion. When Jesus looks at people, he has compassion. When you look at people, can you look at them with compassion? The trigger on the inside, the love that makes something happen on the outside. Sorry, the trigger would be the sorrow. The love is the action, making something happen on the outside. So he sees him. He has compassion on him. Verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He went to him. He broke through the bonds of racial differences. He crossed the fences built by generations of intolerance. And he determined to do what was right instead of what was politically correct. You know, if people would just live by the word of God, we wouldn't have racial tensions. We wouldn't. God loves everybody. Have you ever heard this statement? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. God died for everybody just the same as he died for anybody. And so if we could go to him past those any kind of political correctness, it doesn't matter who they are, what they believe, what they've done. Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins. Let's go to them. The Bible says the Samaritan, he went to him and then he bound up his wounds. He did something to help him. Sometimes a neighbor needs to be helped. Sometimes he needs to be listened to. Sometimes he needs godly counsel. When we're talking about missions, sometimes we need to do something to help somebody get over there so that they can tell these neighbors that we haven't even met how to be saved. But we need to do something. He didn't just go over to him and say, all right, buddy, it's okay, and comfort him as he died. He helped him. He bound up his wounds. He made a difference for him. Then he set him on his own beast. He rescued him from where he was. He brought him to an end. He made sure that he ended up in a safe place, and he took care of him. He used his own resources to care for him. This is the part that I have trouble with. He used his own resources to care for somebody he didn't even know. I struggle with this one. I'm just going to be very transparent. Maybe taking some time, maybe helping somebody, maybe telling him, look, if you need anything, let me know. I hope he never calls. I mean, how many times do we think that? But this man, he takes him, He helps him. He puts him up on his own beast, his donkey or camel or whatever it was. He takes him to the hotel or the inn, and he pays for him. Let me apply this to world missions, and I think you know where we're going here. We could use our own resources to make a difference around the world. I think many of you are. I think most of us on Sunday night, we're using our resources to make a difference. Let me say that's the right thing to do. If you're supporting missions, you're doing the right thing. You're using your resources to take care of somebody, to help reach somebody with the gospel that otherwise might not be reached. Let me finish with this statement. Your greatest chance to be like Christ might just be to be a good neighbor. I want to be like Christ. I want to be Christ-like. Is there someone in your life that you need to have compassion on? You need to go to them. You need to help them. You need to get them to where they need to be. Let's think close neighbors. Is there somebody in my neighborhood, in my circle of influence, that I need to be a good neighbor to and get the gospel to them? Okay, this was talking about a physical need. The guy was hurt. He was injured. He needed to be helped. Let's talk about spiritual. Is there somebody in my circle of influence that I can go out and I can make a difference to that person? If I see him for who he is, I see his need, and I can go to him, I can help him. I know the gospel. I've learned it. I've got a gospel tract somewhere. I gave it away. I don't have one with me. Always have a gospel tract with you, all right? I don't have one right now. But I can do something. I can share how to be saved. You can do that. You can make a difference to your neighbor. And then when it comes to missions, what can you do to make a difference? You may not know them. You may never meet them on this earth. But as we focus on missions this week, next week, the following week, through this month of October, what can I do? What can you do to make a difference for somebody's eternity? Somebody that can spend eternity in heaven with God because of you. Father, I pray that you would help us to be good neighbors. Help us as we go through our regular routine of life to keep our eyes open and see people the way you see people. Help us to be willing to go to them, help them by giving them the gospel. Help us to invest in reaching this world with the gospel. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be good spiritual neighbors to the other people in this world.